The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, everybody. This is going to be a different episode, as you can tell by the title. We were quite literally about to start recording the regular episode when the news about Eric Dane passing away was released. And obviously him being such like a staple to the show and such like, you know, one of our favorite characters, and then just learning of the diagnosis a year ago, it just felt like we couldn't just mention it in passing. We really wanted to like take the time to have a conversation and really like dedicate this whole episode to that. So this is going to be a little bit different and also very sad, because this is really sad. Like, this is, it's just a bummer. I mean, obviously, you know, we did not know this man, but that does not mean that this man has not impacted the lives of millions of people who were a fan of his work. And then, you know, later on in this getting diagnosed this last year, he put so much of his life to helping others and like helping find a cure for ALS. So we really just wanted to like give that the dedication that we feel like it deserves for being, you know, such a huge part of Grey's Anatomy. So we are gonna do that this episode, and we'll be back next week with the episode in season 10.
Yes. And to kind of double down on the sadness that is consuming us, we, between recording last week's episode and today, we had gone into recording with the intent of just sending our thoughts, our prayers, our vibes, our everything to all of the families affected by the shooting in Canada. It's out in a Tumbler Ridge in Canada, and it's obviously it's an incredible tragedy anytime there's a shooting. And I think as parents, and a lot of you listening out there are parents, when it involves kids and a school shooting, it hits much closer to home. So in the kind of the spirit of sending all of our love out there, we wanted to make sure that we acknowledge that before we also kind of dig into the Eric Dane of the show here. But whether it be losing a loved one and thinking about his partner, you know, give your partners out there a hug and a kiss, hold them a little bit extra tighter today. And all your kids, give them an extra big hug and try not to take those moments for granted. So our hearts go out to you. And we have so many Canadian listeners. So
we really do. So yeah, we definitely wanted to take time to, to know that we're thinking of you guys, and it's just heartbreaking to see this stuff happen anywhere. It just sucks. It's a rough, we're off to a rough start this year. I mean, not gonna lie.
Could not be more opposite of the vibe that we just had doing our cold open for the Patreon.
So
a little whiplash for us. A little bit, anyways.
Yeah,
so
we just kind of made, this was a very on the fly decision. It just feels like we can't just be like, oh yeah, it's sad, okay, we'll talk about, you know, this whole episode, because it's just a very impactful thing. And especially, really, we're getting to the age now where like more actors, we've had longer lives and we've interacted with more media, so more like famous people's deaths feel more impactful. And I know people love to throw around parasocial and like call people names about it, but like, whatever, you're allowed to feel sad when anyone dies. That's like, that's just existing normally as a human being. And there are just going to be people who impacted you. Obviously we know that Eric Dane was not Mark Sloan. We're not that like disconnected from reality, but like we can still acknowledge that and acknowledge the person he was, because he did a lot of good work, especially at the end when he was fighting his toughest battle. He was also like standing up and fighting that battle for others. And because he knew he had a platform and he knew he had the resources, and he really like, he stood on business, and he, you know, it's, I have pulled up some information on ALS because I don't know like a whole lot about it. Obviously I know it's like, you essentially, the main symptom of it is the loss of control of your muscles. So you'll like see people have struggle talking, struggle to like walk and sit up and care for themselves in a lot of ways. It also has a varying, like it's a terminal diagnosis, unfortunately, at this point. You know, there is a lot of active research that goes on and goes into it, just like there are for a lot of diseases and chronic illnesses in the world. And we believe those things should be funded.
Absolutely.
That's a, you know, what it is. But so the, typically this is something that like you see more later in life. His diagnosis was relatively young for 53. It's normally more along the lines of like 65 and up is kind of what I was reading. And then there's, it is a variance as far as like the timeline when you receive a diagnosis. It can be, you know, months. I mean, I don't know when he got diagnosed, but it was announced 10 months ago that he had been diagnosed. So that feels very rapid for us. I don't know the details on like how long before it was public that it was a diagnosis made, but it's typically like 1 to 5 years. You know, it's brutal to have a terminal diagnosis like that, especially he has kids. He has two daughters. And it's just so sad. Anytime someone dies, it's sad. There's just a whole different aspect to it when you have to kind of watch them deteriorate in various ways, physically, mentally. You know, sometimes dementia is something that can come along with ALS. And it's just, they just don't know what causes it. They, you know, sometimes they say there's genetics. Like they'll say, oh, we can trace it back to this gene, but sometimes they're like, we just don't know. And that's so rough. You know, it's just a bummer.
I had to look it up very quickly because you were talking about the age, mm-hmm. that he got it. And I kind of tuned out for a second. I'm so sorry. Did you mention what age he was when he was diagnosed?
52.
52. And he passed away at 53.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked it up because then the nerd in me was like, oh, well, what about Lou Gehrig, who kind of like coined the ALS as Lou Gehrig's disease, like, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he was diagnosed at 36 fucking years old.
Yeah.
It's and crazy. He was dead by the age of 37. And it's crazy. Like, you think about, you know, we take life for granted in so many ways. We take the ability, I know we've talked about in this show, even full limb function and having mm-hmm. all of your limb accessible and
mm-hmm.
Not taking that for granted, and people who are wheelchair bound or use prosthetics or you know, things like that. Like you take even just sometimes walking for granted. We take life for granted.
Yeah, it's true.
And it's I think it's incredible to see anytime you have someone with a terminal illness. I think, you know, ALS, I think Parkinson's, I think things that kind of just slowly kind of or you know, in an expedited way, you know take life from you, cancer, but even as well, but the good that you do in your time that you have left, the good that you do in the time even when you don't have these diagnoses, the good that you leave the world with, I think is really important. And I know that Kelsey doesn't allow me to get on to IMDb, and I'm not going to get on IMDb to spoil anything, but I don't know all what else Eric Dane was in. I saw him in Grey's. I think he was in Euphoria.
Yeah.
The few episodes that I watched, and I'm like, I can't take this. This is too much yeah. of a bummer for me.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't know what else he was in. But I think that's what you get to look back as a fan of his art and the legacy that he's made. And I'm sure I'm not going to put words into his mouth, but I feel like I can say he left it all on the table in the last months and year of his life. I'm sure he did everything that he could physically handle while spending time with his family. What's that's important to make ALS research in the world a better place in general. So,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, I mean, he did obviously what he was like most known for was Grey's. Like he had bit parts on other TV shows beforehand. Like Wonder Years, Roseanne, Saved by the Bell, Charmed, you know, were some of the big ones. And then he had a couple like movies that he was in. I wouldn't say he was like starring in. That were like X-Men: The Last Stand. Apparently, I've watched not a single X-Men movie in my life. But just various things. And then when he, you know, got cast as Mark in the one episode, and then like the audience reaction was just so positive that they were like, we got to bring this guy back on. And that's how we end up with the best episode or the best like reintro in the history of Grey's, which is when he comes out of the very steamy bathroom with just a towel on. Thus McSteamy is born. So clever, so beautiful, so wonderful. And I think, you know, we talked a lot about the arc of that character and why we loved Mark and how he went from this like pompous dick sexual predator borderline and became this like really nuanced, complex, lovable, loving character with like all these hopes and dreams for, you know, a family and all this stuff. And then, you know, they just take it away in the worst possible way, kill Lexi in a plane crash. And then Mark dies the next episode. So it's, you know,
I still think about that reveal and me watching that episode live with our friends on Patreon.
Yeah.
What a way. Listen, still the art, the arc, the everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of my favorite moments within Grey's, I think that there are, you know, Mark adjacent in a lot of ways. Lexi and Mark, I think, were my favorite characters when they were on the show, and they mm-hmm. and it started with me. I think I at the beginning was like, man, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
What is he doing? I'm sick and tired of watching his bullshit. What is he doing to our boy Alex? Just making him go get coffee and shit.
Yeah.
To, wow, Mark is fucking dead and getting emotional, and that sucks.
Yeah.
It's what a journey. Only Eric Dane could have done that for me in this journey.
Yeah, I mean, something that Grey's does perfectly is casting. You know, there's some people where you like, that just couldn't be anyone else. Because you can't have Mark have the redemption that he has if he's not played by like a likable guy. And he is a likable guy. He's charming.
Likable guy.
Even when he's being the worst, there's still a little bit of you that's like, well, maybe one day he won't be the worst. And he did well. He did really well. But yeah, I mean, what were some of your favorite Mark moments? Do you have any top of mind?
The elevator scene, I think, is my favorite. Yeah. Where Derek's in there with, I think, is it Meredith? Who's in there first? Is it Meredith or Addison?
Meredith and then is Rose in there comes first. In. No, Addison's in there first, and then Meredith comes in, and then Rose comes in,
and then Mark.
And then
just
on the next floor,
it opens.
Yeah,
oh, man. Bet you wish you took the stairs right about now. I think that's probably my favorite Mark moment. And then I think hold on, I'll pause. What do you think your favorite Mark moment is?
Probably, I mean, I do love the elevator moment. I love when he starts getting obsessed with teaching Jackson. And when he goes to Derek's when Derek is building the house in the woods and he goes to yell at him, but he's like carrying Sophia. So he just yells and then walks away. And then Derek's like, hey, you can't just walk away. He's like, I'm not walking away. I just got to keep moving or the baby's going to cry. Like when they write him, like the arc for him becoming a dad is like, it just warms the heart. Like I just love that arc for him. And it was so cute. And I love the relationship they established for him and Callie.
Yeah, it was cool to see them. I mean, they went from smushing to friends and then friends plus smushing to best friends, you know? And I think the most... I'm having a hard time thinking about every single moment, but I know that I can say this and feel pretty confident that probably one of the best top five or top 10 acting moments involves Mark. And it's the scene where Lexi is dying and he says he loves her. And, you know, he's envisioning the whole family and a sister for Sophia or a brother for Sophia, something like that. What range, you know?
Yeah, it's, it really is, you know, we love the character, obviously. I didn't watch Euphoria. I don't know what he was in Euphoria. I feel like I was told he was kind of a bad guy, but I was also kind of told there's not really any good people in Euphoria. Everyone's kind of bad.
Yeah, I only watched 1.5 episodes, and I was like, Jessica, I cannot watch this. I can't. with a child and B with a conscience, I couldn't watch the show. And let me just put in a little asterisk on there. That is not dismissive to anyone who likes the show. There's a lot of people who like the show. There's also people who hunt ghosts. I think you're crazy. Okay. I don't fuck with ghosts. But he, from what I saw on that show, what little I saw, I think he was having sex with a young trans boy while he was married to a woman and had children.
That is not a great arc, but like, again, from what I've heard, no one in that show is doing like great things. Everyone's doing something terrible. Anyways, okay. I also like, I don't know. Do you remember when they made the movie, He's Just Not That Into You? And it was like all the little celebos doing the little like, and then they were somehow connected.
Who's in?
Scarlett Johansson, Bradley Cooper.
Yes. Yeah. He has sex with her and she's in the office.
And then the wife comes in and also has sex. Yeah. Okay. So after that was really successful, Hollywood was like, let's do a bunch of these. So one of them that they did was Valentine's Day, and Eric Dane was in that one. And it's the same thing where it's like a bunch of like, again, the cast was pretty good. The movie was not great, but like, it was fine. It was fun. It was not as good. I thought he's just not that into you. I thought they executed pretty well. Everything they tried to do post that was recreating it was only okay because they were just trying to like, they were like, how can we take this exact same format and cram it into a different movie? But he was in Valentine's Day and I thought that one was really cute.
Was he the star of that movie?
Well, there's like so many, it's like, there's not really a star because it's the same structure where there's like all of these different stories that end up being intertwined.
It's like, I'm pulling it up right now.
Yeah, Jessica Alba's in it, Jessica Biel, Bradley Cooper also, Patrick Dempsey also, Jennifer Garner, Anne Hathaway,
Julia Roberts,
George Lopez, Emma Roberts, Julia Roberts, Taylor Swift, Taylor Lautner. Yeah, I mean, it's a fun watch, to be honest.
The guy from Genovia, Callie's dad is in this movie?
Yeah, it's a fun watch, honestly. Like, it just, I would say, you know, throw it on. It's just like a quick little rom-com. You'd enjoy it.
Wait, hold on. Freaking Topher Grace and Ashton Kutcher?
Mm-hmm.
And Queen Latifah?
Yeah.
And George Lopez?
Worth a watch.
I'll watch it. It's ranked 5.8 out of 10.
Yeah.
Does it have a tomato meter score on here? Where can I get the tomato meter? I have to go to Rotten Tomatoes, don't I?
No, it's 18% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh.
Again, it's a fun movie. It's fine. It's not life-changing. It's enjoyable. I enjoyed it. I think you would enjoy it because you like a good rom-com and it's got a bunch of famous people in it. It's, you know, and it's like one of those things again where it's everything that kind of ends up intertwining, which is really nice. So he was in that, and I won't spoil it, but I thought he was wonderful in that, and I really enjoyed the story in that one. And then he was also in Open Water 2, which is like about being in the middle of the ocean, which I don't love because they had like sharks and stuff in it, and that's not for me.
Yeah, it sounds like a nightmare. Sounds like a nightmare.
So
for me.
I'm sure he was great. I'm not gonna watch that one because the ocean is none of my business.
In you ever, my opinion. Yeah, the ocean. I was actually having this conversation, not to go too off on a tangent, but oceans, gigantic way mega heights, and small caves, small crevices. I think I'm good with never experiencing all three of those. I think of, you know, what would we say? We were in a conversation. We're like, it is for sure a white dude thing to go into those cave diving things where you have to like breathe a certain part of your body, and then like you have to like move your shoulder, and you gotta like, and then you're dead. Yeah. And then the next thing you know is you're getting
stuck. Yeah.
Yeah. The next thing you know, you're getting a phone call on Thanksgiving because you're dying, and you have to say goodbye to your family as you suffocate and drown in your own blood. Going.
Why are you
doing
this on Thanksgiving?
Yeah. Well, no. That's a real story. That actually happened. A guy was doing the cave crawling thing, and he went to what he thought was the birth canal. It was not the birth canal, and ended up dying. And they like phoned in his family to say goodbye, and it was on Thanksgiving Day.
But why would you do that on Thanksgiving? I know that's not the point
of
the story.
But also there. What's that movie where the girls go like? They're climbing like an antenna tower and they get trapped up there and the girl dies.
Fall.
There's like a fall. Yeah.
I only know what that is because I literally just saw, I think that came up on Netflix like today. And I was like, ew, why would anyone watch this?
I watched the main clips of that movie and then I watched the end because I needed to just see what happened.
Yeah, that's not for me. That's what those Wikipedia summaries are for.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, Eric Dane.
Yeah, loop back in. I do want to read this quote from him. He did join the Target ALS board of directors, which is like Target ALS is a foundation, obviously, established to help people with ALS and such. So this is what he said on it. This disease takes something from me every day, but I won't let it take my spirit. Target ALS embodies that relentless spirit, and that's why I'm joining the board. I'm looking forward to working alongside the Target ALS team to continue pushing the limits of what's possible and changing what it means to get an ALS diagnosis. This community deserves effective treatments, and I want to do my part to deliver them. And again, I think that just speaks to the kind of man that he was, and knowing the platform and resources that he had and using those things to do good for the community that he found himself in, doing research and doing, again, providing meaningful change to what that means. And wanting to be there to support others in that scenario, basically. And it's just, it's very sad. And I just, you know, we hate that that has happened.
Yeah. A lot of self-awareness in that, you know, kind mm-hmm. of that statement too.
Yeah.
Trying to think what else about Eric Dane specifically, and then what else can we talk about Mark Sloan specifically?
I mean, Eric Dane specifically, I know he had two daughters. I'm not sure what their ages were, but obviously they were relatively young. And that's, you know, that's not fun. it's no, obviously it's hard anytime that you lose a parent. I don't know if it says when, how old their kids are, but he's married to his wife in 2004, so they couldn't be that old. Because they had them after they got married in 2004, so at most 20, but likely younger than that. And then obviously his wife is Rebecca Gayhart, who is also an actress. So obviously just can't imagine what she and their kids are going through, and just really feel sad. Anytime, you know, you lose a partner or a parent, it's just heartbreaking.
Have we mentioned in the show that he's a Scorpio?
Yes.
November 9th.
Okay. Love a good November 2010 Scorpio. And 2011. Ugh. That's so sad. That's when her kids were born. So.
Oh, okay.
14 and 13.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. That's really sad.
I also didn't realize he's from San Francisco.
Yeah. Don't get too deep in the internet though.
I Google searched where was he born? And I'm actually going to go ahead and just delete this page now.
Yeah. One of his really iconic lines were, like, in that last episode when he's experiencing the surge and he tells Jackson, if you love someone, you tell them, even if you're scared that it's not the right thing, you say it and you say it loud.
Remember that scene where he didn't even get to say goodbye to Sophia because it took like the entire episode for Sophia to get there, and then he died as he slips into the coma.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
It's very upsetting.
Was it you that was telling me that one of the original endings for Eric or for Mark was that he was going to run away and end up with Addison? Like that?
Yes,
was their...
when they were talking about if he was going to renew his contract or not, and they were like, no, and Lexi died, they were like, okay, so do we have him just go to LA and then, you know, you can continue, you can be on private practice? And he was like, no, it doesn't make sense for Mark to leave Sophia, but if I'm here, it doesn't make sense for Mark to be with anyone other than Lexi. Like, Lexi was his end game. The thing that makes the most sense, if Mark isn't on this show, he has to die because he would never leave his daughter, which I think is accurate. And I appreciate it when writers work with an actor, because there's just like that combination, you know, they really are going to know that character and be able to build out choices that make sense for the arc and for the character, that make sense for the audience as well. Because sometimes, you know, people come in and just pull stuff out of left field and you're like, what? That doesn't make any sense. So I think working with him and taking his word to heart makes a lot of, you know, it gives us an ending that is sad, but it makes more sense than him just being like, oh, well, Lexi's dead, I guess I'll just go back to Addison. Like, do I love him and Addison? I think they were a great couple. I think they had great chemistry, but I know I've said this before, but like when shows do that, I'm just like, it, to me, in a way, it like negates the relationships that happened in that in-between time. Because I'm like, okay, so you were just like having that because you couldn't have this other person. I don't know.
Yeah, I completely agree. And also, I think it would have taken away all of the growth, because I also think that one of the things that made Mark a more likable character and just a better character overall is having Callie in his life as well, being a friend. I think it made him a better person, a person who, as a man, was able to actually experience a platonic friendship. Even though they did have sex, it was mostly platonic at that point.
Yeah.
And it kind of evolved over time, but then you have the whole thing with like Sloan, and that baby situation and that heartbreak of having fatherhood be so close and then it you know, not being there anymore, and then with Sophia, and then just, man, wow.
Yeah.
Trying to think what other things I remember very vividly. I remember, when him and Derek, when Mark and Derek got into that fight.
Yeah.
Crazy. What else? I'm trying to think, what else stands out? What else stands out? I feel like I need to just go back and watch a Mark Sloan highlight reel is what I think I need right now.
I'll proof some and then I'll send them to you. And then, wait, what was I just had one I was going to say? Avery, go get in the car. Oh, beef with the chief. When he's chief for the day. When Owen asks Derek to be chief and then Mark just does it. And he's like, beef with the chief.
That is so funny.
Yeah.
Walking around with his little Bluetooth headset.
Mm-hmm. His pastries and his donuts.
I love it. What's funny is Jackson also showed up with pastries. They didn't like his. They didn't like when Jackson did. Never put that connection together until right now.
Plastics posse.
Oh, the plastics posse. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is sad, dude. What the fuck?
Yeah, I know. I hate this. Anyways, if you are sad about it, don't let people make you feel bad because you're sad about someone you don't know that died, because someone that you don't know can still have an impact on you and you can still enjoy the things they create and then be sad that they're no longer in the world to create something. And you can also be sad about the fact that he was taken very early by a terrible disease and recognize that. And, you know, if you're moved to and you're able to, you know, you can donate. Obviously, to any of the ALS organizations. I was actually reading on it, and there is a large difference between, there's just such a large number of them, because some of them are very research focused and some of them are like patient care focused. And I do think that's obviously an important distinction to make, because it's just like about, you know, where you want your money to go. And there are some that do both. But there's ALS, the ALS Association, Target ALS, obviously, and I Am ALS, both of which he was working directly with to raise awareness and raise money. So those are both good ones. And then the Les Turner ALS Foundation is care and research. And then Team Gleason Foundation is going to be like patient and family support. So if you have the funds and are called to, obviously, those are things that you can do, and we are getting tagged all over Instagram with this, and I'm very sad about it. We just didn't want to blow past this and just be like, oh yeah, that's a bummer. I mean, obviously it is a bummer, but it's just, it sucks, and we wanted to like take the time to really like dedicate the conversation to this moment and to this actor who means a lot to us and means a lot to you guys and the show as a whole. And, you know, I recently, a lot of other Grey's actors have been going to like ASL fundraising events, ALS fundraising events and speaking
ASL
on
is
his
a very
behalf.
Different thing.
Yes, it is. And speaking on his behalf. And, you know, in these more recent months, he hasn't been out in public as much, obviously, like this disease, specifically in this scenario, had a very rapid decline for him, and it's hard to watch. And he really, again, was trying to stay active and stay involved. But, you know, that's a lot to balance, especially when you're fighting this and you're still wanting to have that time with your family while you can. And it's just, you know, our hearts go out to anyone who's been affected and impacted by this disease, and we hate it.
Yeah. Whether you are affected by this at the most basic level of knowing Eric Dane's art, if you are affected at a very intimate level of knowing someone who has gone through ALS, an ALS diagnosis and passing, and anything in between, it's okay to be sad today. And I like that Kelsey said that. Don't let anyone tell you how to feel today. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to feel like someone you really resonate with passed. I think I've said this on the show before, like, man, when Paul McCartney dies, like, fuck. I'm gonna have to take off work, I think.
There are a lot that I've been thinking. And, yeah. I was upset a couple weeks ago when we lost Catherine O'Hare. And there's several that I've, like, been very nervous about that are really going to get me down. Dolly Parton's a big one, obviously. That one's really
well. There's even this week alone. Two. Let's think about this. So this we lost Jesse Jackson and Robert Duvall. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know,
last and now week Eric Dane was. Oh my God, Dawson's Creek.
James Vanderbeek.
Yes, thank you.
Best known for his role as the father in Vampirina.
Oh, I didn't realize he did that.
Yeah, he's the voice of the dad. Mm. Boris.
Yes.
I was really struggling to think of the name, Boris.
What's
the most Transylvanian male name you can think? Boris.
So, I am ALS, one of the foundations that he partnered with, they posted on his behalf, and I would like to read the caption because I think they obviously worked with him directly, and it speaks more about, I know we're talking about Mark, we're talking about Grey's Anatomy. I want to speak also to this human being. And I want to read this because they know him. It's long, bear with me. It's worth it. We are heartbroken by the passing of our friend, Eric Dane, a fierce advocate, a generous spirit, and a true champion in the movement to end ALS. Eric used his platform not for attention, but for action. From the moment he joined I Am ALS, he showed up with courage and conviction, asking how he could use his superpowers to help the movement grow. It was an honor to brainstorm with him, to walk alongside him in the halls of Congress on behalf of our community, amplify the urgent need for ACT, for ALS and research funding, and drive toward treatments and ultimately a cure. He understood that ALS is not just a diagnosis, it is a call to action for families, for answers, and for change. Eric brought humility, humor, and visibility to ALS and reminded the world that progress is possible when we refuse to remain silenced. Eric was more than a supporter of our mission, he was part of our family. His impact will live on in the research being funded, the policies being advanced, and the community he helped grow by his honesty, his bravery, and his belief in a better future for anyone struggling with his diagnosis. We honor Eric by continuing the work he believed in so deeply, mobilizing communities, driving critical research, securing essential funding, and fighting relentlessly for real solutions. Our thoughts are with his loved ones and our entire community. I Am ALS will carry his legacy forward until ALS is no more. So again, I think if you think about when he went public with his diagnosis less than a year ago to now, and the impact that he's been able to make in that community is obviously huge. And that deserves a moment of recognition, that speaks to his legacy. You know, obviously he is well known for being an actor, and he's known specifically for Grey's and Euphoria and these movies and everything. But at the end of the day, this is a human being who made a real difference for a lot of people, both in the immediate and in the long run. And that's a legacy that you want to leave.
Yeah, agreed. I think that's probably the best way to end.
Yeah, I don't know that we have much more to say, but, you know, we see you. It's a bummer, and we are bummed right along with you. And, you know, we'll be back next week with the Silly Goofies, but we just didn't want to be Silly Goofy tonight with this one. This was a bummer. We just wanted to give it the attention it deserved. So... thank you guys so much for understanding, and we will be back next week with your regularly scheduled Grey's Anatomy content. But we love you guys, and we just hope you have a good week.
Yeah, and as always, no spoilies.